Well, I have a picture on the back wall there, and I want to thank this church for the support, the missionary support that they have given to my ministry. Not mine, it's God's ministry. I'm the evangelical hospital chaplain. I work at the Marshfield Medical Center and at the Stanley Hospital. I live in Stanley. I was the principal of Faith Christian Academy there. Pastor Craig Lindgren, who was one of the pastors here, sent his kids to the academy. And during transition, I did a lot of pulpit supply here. So for the old timers, you remember my face and my head probably. So anyway, I've got some prayer cards out in the back for the ministry. And what I do is I minister to those who are sick in the hospital. And at the Marshfield Hospital, I get a list of people that go to Bible churches, Baptist churches, Assembly of God, non-denominational. And so I get to see people that are hurting or that are traumatized. And yesterday I was working at the hospital, and regarding Matthew Orheim, Hunter, I want you to know that your baptism last year impacted Barry and Barbara a lot. And so in the intensive care waiting room, as a chaplain, I'm meeting a family that's hurting. Matthew's critical. He crashed his motorcycle with a semi. He's got a brain injury. It's serious. And my job as a chaplain is I come alongside families that are hurting. They're in pain. And they're not getting good news. This could be a life-ending injury. And so this is their only son. Matthew's their only boy. They have a grandson, Oakley. His birthday was Friday, same day as the crash. But it was my privilege to come alongside them in their pain and while they're hurting and just to be with them. It's what I do. And I asked them, I said, do you guys have any faith background? Do you have a church? And Barry said, no, not really. He said, but, you know, a year ago, I went to a baptism up at Jump River there. It was right in the river. They baptized one of our friend's daughters. He said, you know, that was really meaningful. I said, you know what? I'm preaching at that church tomorrow. How do you like that? Can I share your story? And they said, yes, please. So I'm not violating HIPAA here. They gave me full bore. Go ahead and share that. And but just the witness of the church alone and what you did at baptism a year ago ministered to them. It said, that seemed like real Christianity. I said, I think you're right. It's not about the name on the church. It's not about where you go, but it's what you're living. That's what people see. And so for this family, and then, wouldn't you know, Chaplain Randy gets in the middle of all of that. So it's going to be touch and go for Matthew. I prayed with them and we're asking God for a miracle. Every family there wants a miracle. Sometimes the miracle is ushering that person into eternal life. So I don't know where Matthew is, as we prayed earlier. His significant other, Heather, same thing. But keep Barry and Barb and then their son Matthew in your prayers. So as a chaplain, that's what I do. I'm in the messy and the sticky with people in the midst of their pain and grief. And so, anyway, that's my ministry. Thank you, Jump River Community Church, for your support. I brought this up with me. This is the Lahota family that's also on the backboard. Really proud of them. It says, "We love you, Papa." It's my granddaughter who lives in the Middle East. They're home right now on furlough, not here in Wisconsin. They're in Florida for a conference, but grateful that they're there. And thank you, Jump River, for your support of their ministry in the Middle East as they minister to Muslims in a very dark, dark culture. And so thank you for your support. So thank you for the opportunity to come up here also to share the Word of God with you. I've been behind this pulpit before, and so grateful for the opportunity this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And being at verse 3, we're going to read a few verses here, and I'm going to expound on those a little bit. But recently, my daughter Joy, who is also raising support for Crew, said, "Dad, let's watch a movie." And I want to watch Armageddon. And that's an old movie. It's over 20 years old. And I said, "Yeah, well, I'll watch that. We've seen that before." And so, of course, the movie Armageddon is about the end of the world. And a big meteorite is coming. It's going to crash into Earth. Everybody knows it's going to happen. And the significance of the movie is that you see what's going on the Earth. Now, they send a crew up to split this meteor, and everything is to the last second. They use a nuclear bomb to split this big meteorite so it splits and misses the Earth. So, really good story. But I'm here to say that there is a story about the end of the Earth, but in the world. And so, this may come across strong, but I want you to know that our loving God put this in the Bible to give us a preview of the future. So the Apostle Peter writes here, starting at verse 3. In fact, if you have a subnote in this text in your Bible, it says, "The Day of the Lord." And so the title of my message is Our Blessed Hope. We have hope. And reading, I'm reading from the New International Version. "First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come," excuse me, "scoffing, following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Well, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. I got allergies, and don't you know when I preach, it's dripping in the back of my throat. So excuse me. So let's unpack this portion of Scripture. And as I was getting ready for this sermon, I remember back when I was in college, and I grew up in a very liturgical church, and I had to go to church every Sunday or I was going to hell. And one of my college roommates, who was a good Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, said, you know, I want to invite you to church. But he said, every other week, the preacher, he's preaching about hellfire one week, and then he preached about the love of God the next week. He said, I'm hoping it's the love of God. But he said, I'm not sure. So I went to church with him. Don't remember a thing that was said that day. So this sounds like one of those hellfire things, okay? But let me tell you about this, because God put it in the Scripture for us just to prepare us. So verse 3, the Scripture is very clear. He says, the Apostle Peter is saying, understand that in the last days scoffers are going to come, scoffing, following their own evil desires. Well, what is this scoffing? But the scoffing is about derision and mocking and taunting of the truth. You know, once you have Jesus Christ living inside you, God changes your perspective on this world. But there's a lot of people without Jesus living on the inside. Those are the scoffers. They're the ones that taunt you. And I remember when I came to faith in Christ as a young man, I was 22 years old. And my brothers thought I became crazy or something. They were scoffing. Randy, how come you're not drinking with us anymore like you used to? I said, well, I found a different way to be high. So I got a lot of scoffing there. But the Apostle Paul tells us more about this. This is Peter in this portion of Scripture, but the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3, so if you want to turn back a few pages to 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1, 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in that era right now. There are many who are living their lives with what looks like, there may be even good churchgoers. The Apostle Paul here in that portion of 2 Timothy gives us a snapshot of the era that we're living in right now. But mark this. These things are going to happen, and they've happened. They're happening now. As we look at the world that we're living in and the events that are going on in the Middle East even now, Israel, that little country, was the place where Jesus Christ was born. where he died, where he rose from the dead, and he said, I'm coming again. I'm going to come again. And he's coming back right there to Jerusalem. It's all in the book. The Bible tells us that. So as we look at these events, we can conclude with certainty that we are one day closer to our blessed hope. Jesus is coming. He's coming again. Let's look back at our text then in 2 Peter 3 at verse 4. They will say, well, where is his coming? He promised ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Yeah, at the time Peter wrote this, they at least acknowledged the creation. And Cal, you talked about this. How can we not know? But there's a lot of people out there who have bought the lie of evolution, that somehow we evolved out of the muck and the goo and the ooze. And that's what has been the paradigm of education for the last 100 years. That we evolved. And we came from, you know, something out there. And we came from monkeys. If you believe that, that's a bigger lie. I mean, that's just a lie. But at least back then, they realized there was a creator. They acknowledged the creation. Today, the evolutionists seem to dominate the public school textbooks, and that, they think, is normal. Verse 5, back in our text, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed. The word of God tells us that he created this beautiful planet that we live in. That's on a collision course with eternity. Verse 6 describes the flood of Noah. The world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Why did God destroy the earth back then? Why did he destroy mankind? Except for Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. Why did he do that? It's because the world was full of sexual sin. It was terrible. And God said, hey, you know what? I'm going to start over. So the flood occurred. So what does the future hold for the unsaved of our generation? Verse 7 gives us that answer. By the same word, meaning the word of God, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. When Peter wrote that, he had no clue what atomic warfare would look like, what an atomic bomb would look like. In preparation for this, I went back and I looked at YouTube at what Hiroshima looked like when the first atom bomb went off in World War II. Devastating. I read a book when I was in high school called Hiroshima. And they said that some of the people that were in the blast scene, there was just shadow of them on the sidewalks. They were vaporized. Now, the atom bomb of that day, 1945, compared to the nuclear weapons we have today, is like spitting in a bucket. The world is reserved for fire, for judgment. Judgment's coming. And it's going to come by fire. Let's drop down to verse 10 here. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. The Apostle Paul asks us in verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be? And he gives the answer. We ought to live holy and godly lives, verse 12, it says, you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. God wants us to live like Christians. We don't always do that. I don't always do that. God wants us to live like holy people. In verse 13, but in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. The Apostle John in Revelation 21 tells us, very end of the book, the beginning of the book tells us about the creation. The end of the book tells us about the new creation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The first heaven and the first earth are going to pass away. It's coming. This event is coming. When? We don't like to know when. No one knows for sure. But perhaps verses 8 and 9, let's go back to the text again. Verses 8 and 9 will give us more insight. Peter says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's seeming delay in bringing about the consummation of all things is a result not of indifference, but of God's patience in waiting for all to come to repentance. I'm glad that God waited for me. God's waiting for some of you. I can't see your heart. Only God knows your heart. God's waiting so that you don't have to go through this judgment. Verse 14 says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Well, how do you do that? How do you become spotless and blameless? The Bible says we're all sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. There's not one of us without sin. And that sin condemns us to hell. Condemned me. My sin puts me in hell. The Bible says that the littlest sin will keep you out of heaven. But you see, God didn't leave us without a solution. The solution came through Jesus Christ our Lord. We sang about it earlier. He's the Redeemer. He's the one who provided the perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty. Jesus paid the penalty at the cross. His life, a spotless life without sin. He said he was God. God in the flesh. I and the Father are one. It was his sacrifice. He laid down his life for you and me so that we don't have to go to hell. No one has to go to hell. But it's what we do with Jesus that determines if we get out of hell, if we're spared from going to hell. I deserve to go to hell because of my sin. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ saved us from going there. I know I'm saved. I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. Well, what are you saved from? You're saved from this judgment. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we got to call upon the name of Jesus. All of us. We have to. If we want to be spared this judgment. My prayer for you is that you come to Jesus. Make him your Lord and your Savior. So as we conclude today, are you saved? I carry a lot of these. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Because we don't know when that's going to happen. Or if we're in a motorcycle crash like this young man was. He didn't think that Friday morning this was ever going to happen. We never think it's going to happen to us. But are you ready? There's no guarantee that any of us driving away from here today wouldn't be in a crash of some kind. There's no guarantee. But if you don't know for sure if you're saved, I'm going to pray with you in a few minutes. Pray with me when I pray. If you're saved and you know it, then it's our responsibility to spread this message of salvation, as Rich asked for there earlier. Salvation in Christ alone. Jesus is the only way. John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. It's not difficult. Jesus made a way. He's the way. In order to get to heaven, there's a way. We have to yield our life by faith. We've got to believe it. Yield our life to Jesus. It's the best decision I ever made in my life. To give my heart and life to Christ. And thirdly, the Lord wants us, if we're believers, to repent. He says in our verse here, he wants us to be spotless and blameless in verse 14 and to be at peace with him. So we need to repent of sinful habits. God knows my weaknesses. He knows yours. We have to ask God to help us in those weaknesses, to guide us on the way. The beauty of the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus loves you just the way you are. Sinful and full of whatever, the world, God loves you. I was in the COVID ward at the Marshfield Hospital with a dying patient. I had to put all the gear on so I wouldn't get the virus. And he's dying. He wanted the chaplain. I said, what can I do for you? I was at his bedside, face to face. I have a big face shield on, and he's got oxygen mask on him. He said, I need a prayer. I'm not going to make it. Before he died, I said, I want to tell you this before I pray with you. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have everlasting life. You don't have to go to hell. But you have to believe it and receive it yourself. For as many as received him, he gave them the right to be called the children of God, to those who call upon his name. We've got to call upon Jesus. And I prayed with him a prayer like this, and let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to the earth to die for a sinner like me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid enough at the cross. Lord, you shed your blood to cleanse me from my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you did it for me. I invite you, Lord Jesus, to be my Savior and my Lord. Help me to live a godly life for you. I need help, God, you know that, because I'm a sinner that needs help. So, Lord, again, thank you for all that you've done for me and for us. Thank you for the gift, the free gift of salvation. For by grace we are saved through faith, and not of ourselves, lest anyone would boast. It is the gift of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that gift. It's in your precious name, Lord, we pray this. Amen. So as a concluding verse, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 10 says this. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hey, thanks for the breakfast, ladies. That was very good today for those who were here. Now, each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others. That's what Cal was mentioning earlier. Get involved. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Get involved. Be the believer God wants you to be. God bless you all. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.